Well, hello, folks. I'm not sure if we are connected or not. New work here on the Blog Talk Radio, but it looks like we should be. So hopefully you are hearing me right now, and we are broadcasting. If not, we are live on the video simulcast at jeffreydarty.com, christianwhistleblower.com. And it looks like we indeed are there, as you probably heard that come through. But it's very good to be with you. Very good to be here. Of course, we've had some changes. We've had some rearranges, and that's okay. I think things are going well for us. I think things are looking up. And I think things are really getting better and better. We'll be taking calls at the bottom of the hour. You can call in at 323-642-1249. That's 323-642-1249 if you'd like to call in at the bottom of the hour just after the break there. But exciting stuff going on with the Christian Whistleblower. We'll also be initiating probably next week on Tuesday another program, an interview program called Create Yourself, where I will interview some of the leading personalities in spirituality, human growth, and sometimes even politics. And we'll be able to give you a well-rounded place to come for information on how to improve yourselves in all the most important parts of the life of your life. We don't want you to just exist. We want you to create yourself and build a life that you will love. That's what this is all about. That's what we're here for. And, you know, it's funny because about 6 years ago, I guess, we started out on Blog Talk Radio. And for some reason, I didn't like it. I wasn't a fan of it. But our success on Blog Talk has been well documented, tremendous reception. And you know what? It doesn't really matter how you like it and, you know, what hits your ego. You can feed the people, you can feed your ego. So we're opting for the place that tends to work best for us. And we've got a lot of people tuning in and listening. So we will be here on the Blog Talk Radio platform. And we'll also be broadcasting, of course, the video simulcast over at jeffreydarty.com, christianwhistleblower.com. You can catch that right now. And our plan is right now on Blog Talk to be Monday and Wednesday with the Christian Whistleblower. And then on Tuesday and Thursday, the Create Yourself program. So Mondays and Wednesdays, we will have the Christian Whistleblower. And then on Tuesdays and Thursdays, we'll have the Create Yourself program, which will be a great call-in program with some of the leading and most interesting people within the realms of spirituality. So we're looking forward to getting this rolling, and I'm excited about it. I think it's a great way for us to go. I think it's the best way for us to go. I think it's the way that we went, you know, at the beginning, and sometimes going back home and doing what has always been good for you is kind of the best way to go. So we're feeling good about it. We're feeling excited about it. And as always, we start off with Unindoctrinate Daily. That's at jeffreydarty.com and christianwhistleblower.com. And some of you that are familiar with the Bitcoin phenomenon will understand the name Satoshi Nakamoto. Satoshi Nakamoto is the fabled creator of the widely used cryptocurrency Bitcoin. Well, an Australian computer scientist named Craig Stephen Wright has publicly identified himself as Satoshi Nakamoto. Wright has told three media organizations, the BBC, the Economist, and GQ, that he is the father of Bitcoin, and he's also published a blog post that says he says includes cryptographic proof for his claim. So interesting stuff. If indeed Craig Stephen Wright is Satoshi Nakamoto, that is the answer to one of the great modern mysteries of popular culture. And the Pazuzu demon, it's a bad day for the Pazuzu demon. Queen Elizabeth gave the Planning Commission her permission to remove the statue. Now, this statue is just a stone's throw from Buckingham Palace, and it's which is also owned by Crown Estates. And the famous figurine of Pazuzu was at the British Museum, and it was used in the Exorcist movie. Now, if you go to ChristianWhistleblower.com, the Unindoctrinate Yourself tab, and look at that demon, you'll remember him. You'll recognize him from the Exorcist movie. And he's, if you see on the picture, he's being cut in half. They're taking him down. They're going to move him somewhere, or I hope they don't just throw him away. But it's a bad day to be the Exorcist demon. It's also a bad day to be Plastic Jesus, because a six-story statue of Plastic Jesus, Jesus Christ, in the Midwestern U.S. city was struck by lightning, and it burned to the ground, leaving only a blackened steel skeleton and pieces of foam that were scooped up by curious onlookers. So somewhere out there, there are curious onlookers that have a true piece of Plastic Jesus. They've got a plastic piece of Plastic Jesus. But I got a what to me was a staggering email today about Plastic Jesus, asking a question about Plastic Jesus, and really showing something about Plastic Jesus that I never thought about, that is absolutely positively right, and something we're going to have to dive into. We may be doing that tomorrow night. I just need to get my head wrapped around it and do some more study and pondering of a tremendous subject regarding Plastic Jesus. But the Plastic Jesus in this Midwestern U.S. city is only a blackened steel skeleton remaining. Now, some people say that Plastic Jesus is an addiction. There is a new study out that claims that religion can be an addiction. Some religious experiences seem a lot like addiction in the mind of many former believers. That's also linked up at ChristianWhistleblower.com, JeffreyDarty.com, under the Unindoctrinate Daily tab. So definitely an interesting idea. And when you think about big time religion, it's not a real stretch in your mind to think about it in terms of addiction. And speaking of those kind of terms, pilgrims are flocking to see an Orthodox icon, which is weeping drops of oil. Thousands of Orthodox Christians are flocking to a church. And of course, as I go to this website, we hear this commercial that we've got to stop. And it doesn't want to stop. But pilgrims flock to see an Orthodox icon weeping drops of oil in a southwest Chicago suburb. And according to this story, this painting, this icon painting, is actually looks like it's weeping, and they are drops of oil. And according to many of the onlookers, these droplets have healing properties. So it's the icon of John the Baptist at the Assumption Greek Orthodox Church. Very interesting, and I've said before on the air, and we might as well say it again here, it fits right into what we're talking about. I believe the day will come as the false Lord, the Lord who is a false fallen God, prepares to do his final false flag, and he may well be into these plans with his chosen presidential candidate, Ted Cruz. If you look at our website, we've proven that beyond a shadow of a doubt, really, at least in my mind. But as the Lord, Yahweh, Yaldabaoth, Jehovah, Marduk, the adversary, the Satan, as identified by Yeshua, as he continues to formulate and move forward his plans for a great false flag, you are going to see much more and many more of these crazy supernatural quote unquote happenings, and I guess they are supernatural, of, you know, these icons crying, of these statues bleeding. And folks, I'm going to say it here first, and I've said it before and I'll say it again. And when you see it happen, and it will happen unless we are very successful very quickly in stopping the Lord's plans for a false flag. And that is the plan, to stop his plans for a false flag. But you're going to see at some point, you will see the Jesus figure, the plastic Jesus figure, come down off a crucifix and come to life for everyone to see. That is coming. That's part of this whole thing with weeping icons, bleeding statues, and Jesus in French toast, you know, as people see. And also in the "Man, What Were You Thinking" department, a Texas sheriff is being sued for placing crosses on patrol cars. A First Amendment watchdog group is suing a Texas sheriff because he put Christian cross decals on several county patrol vehicles. And according to this watchdog group, which is the Freedom From Religion Foundation, and I kind of like these folks, it says, whether it is a cross, a star and crescent, or a pentagram, law enforcement must remain neutral on matters of religion in order to foster public confidence in their impartiality, says Annie Laurie Gaylor of FFRF, a group that sees its mission as defending the separation of church and state. I think this makes perfect sense for the Freedom From Religion Foundation, the aforementioned FFRF. I think they're absolutely 100% right. And I think this Texas sheriff has gone loco for placing a religious decal on county patrol vehicles. Man, that's just crazy. You can't be doing that kind of stuff. There is a separation, a concept of separation of church and state in this nation. And we certainly have an establishment clause which says that the law will establish no religion. And you got a police car showing up with the identifying emblem of a certain religion, a particular religion, on the back of it. And that is problematic at best. So hat off to the Freedom From Religion Foundation and good luck on getting this silly Texas sheriff, stopping him from doing what is obviously a stupid and ridiculous thing for him to be doing. And the Vatican has unexpectedly suspended an independent financial audit. Well, surprise, surprise, you know, they made big news by agreeing to a impartial financial audit, and now they have quietly stopped the audit. And I guarantee you, you're probably not going to hear that news from many places other than from me, Jeffrey Darty, the Christian whistleblower. So they can make all kinds of noise when they start an independent audit, and then they quietly and secretly fire PricewaterhouseCooper. And again, it just goes off quietly into the night. At least that's what they were hoping. Well, we'll see, and I don't think that we're going to let that stand. And we will be right back after these messages by Jeffrey Darty, your Christian whistleblower. Well, folks, this is Jeffrey Darty, and I'd like to give you the opportunity and give you the encouragement to go back to the beginning. My book, Apostle Paul Antichrist, is the book that started it all, as they say. It's the book that really launched the Christian whistleblower. It's the book that got us on Coast to Coast AM for the first time. And it's over 400 pages, and it's a story of how the Apostle Paul, the self-proclaimed Apostle Paul, co-opted the original message of Yeshua and turned it into a guilt and fear-based control matrix that we are still under the control of today. Apostle Paul Antichrist, forward by George Norrie, is available in paperback at my website, jeffreydaugherty.com. That's JeffreyDaugherty.com. And there's also a ebook available for just $5. So there's no reason to let money stand in your way of reading, owning, and understanding the message that started it all. Apostle Paul Antichrist by yours truly, Jeffrey Daugherty. Go to JeffreyDaugherty.com and get yours today.
And now back to the Edward Snowden of the New Testament, the Christian whistleblower, Jeffrey Daugherty.
Well, thank you very much. That's Veronica Knight, one of the great radio voices of South Florida. So glad to have her helping out along the way. And, of course, you heard Cliff Desmond in our intro, I think. I didn't quite hear the audio here, but we'll try to get these things, you know, worked out. It is the first day, so, you know, sometimes you have a few little things that sneak by and you're not sure exactly what's going on. But, hey, we're all friends here, and we're all taking care of business, getting out the news. And I'm going to do something now and talk about something before we get into the show that most people don't like me talking about. And that's never stopped me yet, so why should it stop me now? And here's the story. Scientologists vindicated by Belgian court ruling. A Belgian court has ruled in favor of the Church of Scientology, rejecting allegations that it operated as a criminal organization and extorted money from members. The acquittal on Friday, March 11th, came after a lengthy investigation, which the presiding judge, and I'm sure I'll butcher his name, Yves Regemont, described as prejudiced and vague. So the Scientologists have been vindicated by a Belgian court ruling. And Belgium's labor department had claimed that the church posted fake job advertisements in a bid to recruit members, while prosecutors also relied on testimony from former members. The acquittal of the Church of Scientology and its members was welcomed by defense lawyer Pascal van der Veeren. This was a religious case and nothing else, he says. You've said that all along, he told Reuters. And the Church of Scientology is recognized as a religion in many nations, including the United States and Great Britain, even though it has faced a lot of criticism and legal challenges in numerous other countries. Of course, Scientology was founded by science fiction writer L. Ron Hubbard, and Scientology has attracted high-profile followers that still remain within the church, such as, of course, Tom Cruise, John Travolta. Now, I celebrate this ruling. I celebrate this finding, and I do it for this reason, because we cannot allow ourselves as a society to start picking and choosing which religion we are going to pick on, which religion we're going to disallow, which religion we're going to vilify. Because, folks, if we are allowed, or if we as citizens allow the government to censure any one religion, we open the door for them to be able to censure all religions. In the same way that we cannot permit the government to establish one single religion as a religion for our country, neither can we allow them to outlaw religions. Now, you may not like Scientology, and I don't like Scientology. I don't like the top-down bureaucracy. I don't like some of the things that go on in Scientology. But folks, before you start criticizing Scientology, especially my Catholic friends, my Protestant friends, look in the mirror. One of the great complaints against Scientology is, oh, they extort money. Have you seen the Vatican lately? Have you seen Joel Osteen's house lately? Now, what again was that you were saying about extorting money. They also say, oh, well, Scientologists don't, they don't let you talk to your family members that have left the church. Well, I would direct you to the words of your Apostle Paul, Christians. That's who said it. Apostle Paul said, don't even eat with someone who's been kicked out of the church. So the things that people hate Scientology for, quote unquote, are the same things that their religions are guilty of. And Scientology is just a scapegoat. And we have to protect all faiths in the United States, which does include Islam as well. Islam has to be allowed to be practiced. Of course, that doesn't mean that we have to allow radical Islam, and we don't have to allow Islam to become centers for terroristic type activities. But we do have to allow, if we're going to be a free country, the practice of Islam, the practice of Scientology, and the practice of any other ology that is held near and dear as a spiritual belief in the hearts of people. And I guarantee you, folks, the only reason they're going after Scientology, and you hear it and see it to a greater degree, even in the United States, it's coming up again and again and again and again. The only reason they're going after Scientology is so that they can allow us to allow the precedent that they can go after other religions. It's like, I always say it was Martin Niemöller, but I think it was somebody else in Germany. Of course, he said, this famous German theologian, I believe it was Niemöller, but he said, when they came after the Jews, I wasn't a Jew, so I did not object. And if it wasn't Niemöller, I apologize. When they came after the gypsies, I wasn't a gypsy, so I didn't object. When they came after the homosexuals, I was not homosexual, so I didn't object. When they finally came for me, there was no one else left to object. So I'm telling you tonight, folks, on May 2nd, 2016, that if you allow them to come for the Scientologists, you might be next. And think about it, folks. You are a person that listens to paranormal radio. You're a person that has beliefs typically that are outside the accepted normal paradigm. Are you really going to support government coming down on people that think differently than others, the people that think outside the paradigm, and think people that think outside the dominant paradigm, certainly? Are you really comfortable allowing your government to take such actions? I encourage you to think it over, and I encourage you to think it over very, very deeply, because, folks, if you allow them to go after one religion, you allow them to go after all religions, all faiths, and all deeply held spiritual practices. I really don't think that you want to go down that road, do you? Well, I would encourage you to certainly think about that. Tonight, as you saw on the name of this little talk, we were going to talk about being the subject of Inside the Dragon's Lair. Inside the Dragon's Lair. And what am I talking about being inside the dragon's lair? Well, this is what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the fact that we are, as a society right now, being dominated and being controlled over, or by, I should say, a two-headed dragon. Now, what are you talking about, Jeff? What kind of a dragon? What kind of a two-headed dragon? Well, if you've been listening to me much lately, we have identified that religion and politics are collectively a two-headed dragon. Some people took me to task and said, hey, what are you doing? You got to say the two-headed dragoons. It's the lair of the dragons if there's two heads. No, it's just one dragon. It's just one dragon with two heads. And especially when we're talking about a Western culture, our culture goes back to Rome. Now, I know Rome borrowed a lot or conquered a lot or stole a lot, however you want to put it, from Greece and other cultures that they conquered. But we trace our culture back to Rome. And if there's ever been, if there has ever been a culture, if there's ever been a school of thought, of civilization that can be traced back to one place, it's ours, and it does go back to Rome. And Rome is the quintessential union of church and state. It was the Roman Caesar Constantine that officially made Christianity the religion of the empire. Ridiculous, crazy. And yet I have to get on the radio and rant and rave to convince you that religion and politics are the same thing. Religion and politics, folks, are very much, very well, absolutely the same thing. They come from the same place, and they exert the same malevolent rule over our hearts, the same malevolent rule over our minds, the same malevolent rule over our lives. And they do that quite simply because we allow them to. They do that quite simply because we let them. And you will find very few people that have ever been inside the lair of both heads of that dragon. You'll find very few people that have ever been inside the religious paradigm, the dominant religious paradigm, and that have also been inside the dominant political paradigm. I happen to be one of those very few people. For 20 years, I was a licensed minister full-time with three of the largest Protestant denominations in the world, pastoring churches, speaking at churches, 20 years. I'm a Bible college graduate. I have nearly 150,000 hours of study in the Christian scriptures. Definitely, without a doubt, an insider in religious terms. That's why I can be a true, legitimate Christian whistleblower, because I've been on the inside, and I can legitimately say, hey, I'm breaking to you news and things that have been hidden for far, far, far too long, and that we cannot allow to be hidden any longer. Now, a lot of you don't know, because I've only said this maybe one time on the air, but I also was deeply involved in partisan politics. I was deeply involved in two presidential campaigns. In fact, I ran a state in one of them and ran many political events in the other, both of them presidential campaigns by Patrick J. Buchanan, one for the Republican nomination and then one for the Reform Party nomination as well. So I've been a political insider. I've been inside both heads of the dragon, and I know what's going on. And when I get back, I'm going to talk about what they're doing to us and how we can find our way to freedom from the two heads of this horrible dragon.
Buckle up for adventure. Strap on your thinking gear and prepare yourself to be inspired. The 4th Annual Paradigm Symposium is coming again to Minneapolis, Minnesota on May 12th through the 15th. An eclectic cast of presenters, including Scott Walter from History Channel's America Unearthed, Randall Carlson of Sacred Geometry International, historian and ufologist Rich Dolan, conspiracy, cryptozoology, and UFO writer Nick Redfern, and keynote hermeticist Lon Milo Duquette, as well as several other researchers and pundits in the fields of the academic, the weird, and the unknown, with topics that range from archaeology and hidden history to alternative science, ancient aliens, paleo contact, and world mysteries. Tickets are now on sale at the website. To see all the details for this amazing event and symposium, and to get your tickets now, go to ParadigmSymposium.com. Come to learn, leave inspired.
Well, hello, folks. This is Jeffrey Daugherty, and I just wanted to give you a reminder that on our website, we do have all of our books listed, and we invite you to take the next step and get all the research and proof data in these books by yours truly, Jeffrey Daugherty. I'd like to mention to you right now my next to latest work, The Final Message of the Last Apostle, where we ask the question if the ancient prophets actually foretold a UFO ET alien agenda in the pages of the New Testament. Shocking, I know, but this book, highly documented, over 350 pages, addresses not only what I see as a UFO ET alien agenda in the New Testament, but one that is completely centered around the great events in the life of the person that we know as Jesus Christ, and foretells and warns of a great final false flag perpetrated by the most evil denizen of history. And the fact that he has hidden himself in holy garb will be shocking to every reader. Final Message of the Last Apostle is the final message of the Apostle John, who was the last writer of the New Testament. Final Message of the Last Apostle is available at jeffreydaugherty.com. That's JeffreyDaugherty.com. It's available in paperback, and there's also an ebook available as well for only $5. So certainly do not let finances stop you from understanding the final message of the last apostle. I'm Jeffrey Daugherty, encouraging you to go and get your copy today.
And now, back to the largest spiritual network on the planet, the Jeffrey Daugherty Show.
And that, of course, is Cliff Desmond, who also is our announcer on the show. And Cliff is making reference to the largest spiritual network on the planet. If you're looking at my website, if you're watching the simulcast there in the upper left-hand corner, right beneath it, you see the commercial for Paradigm Symposium. Beneath that, you see my Facebook. And if you'd like to ask me questions, you can ask me questions right there on my Facebook, and I'll be glad to answer them for you. You can also like us there on Facebook while you're there. And then directly beneath that is my Twitter. And you can ask me questions on Twitter, and you can also follow me while you're there. And the largest spiritual network on the planet is referring directly to that Twitter family. We have a Twitter following of over 125,000 people. And we do invite you to become part of that 125,000 and growing people. We would appreciate you letting us know that you support us. And even if you just want to kind of see what we're doing, please go ahead and like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. Now, I have opened up the chat here on the Blog Talk Radio. I see we have a couple of callers on the line. If you do want to ask a question, please go into the chat room and just let me know real briefly what you want to ask about, and give me the last four digits of your phone number, and I will realize who you are, and I'll bring you on the show to talk. Some people do call up and just listen on their cell phones to the program and don't want to ask questions. So in this way, I'll be able to know which of you do want to ask questions. So just go into the chat room that you see there, put in the last four digits of your telephone number, because I can see your phone numbers, and then just put in, I have a question. And you don't even have to say what it is, because I do have the power of the almighty hang up button. And if you want to pull shenanigans, I'll simply just hang up on you. If you want to preach a sermon, I probably won't let you get too far in that either, because you can join up and have your own show right here on Blog Talk Radio. But if you do have a question, put in your last four digits of your phone number and say, yes, I do have a question, and we will get you on the air, and I'll be glad to answer your question. And thank you to all the folks calling in. It's nice to see, even on our first night, we've got quite a group gathered, and we appreciate that, and we hope to continue to bring you great radio. Mondays and Wednesdays, we're going to be doing the Christian Whistleblower. That'll be this show, talking about spirituality and politics as it relates to spirituality. They always tell us, don't talk about politics, don't talk about religion. And the reason why they want us not to talk about that, folks, is because once you start discussing politics, once you start discussing religion, and once you start airing your views and hearing the views of others, you begin to build some understanding very quickly. You begin to build some realizations very quickly that, wait a minute, something's wrong with what we've been taught. Something's wrong with what we've been sold. Something's wrong with what we've been told. And you start to realize, wait a minute, if your religion says this, my religion says the same thing, why they got us fighting each other? And then you begin to realize the religions and the politicians are doing the same thing. They're keeping us all down. And folks, again, I've seen this from the inside. 20 years in the Christian church, I became intimately aware of the guilt and fear control matrix that's placed upon each and every one of us, and it's placed upon all the believers in the church to keep you in line. Folks, you've been told and sold for 2,000 years that you've been born with original sin. That means as soon as you took your first breath, you were a dirty, rotten, lousy sinner in need of salvation. A salvation, folks, that only the church could bring to you. Can you see how that makes you a slave and a captive in whatever system they decide to set up? If you are born from your first breath a dirty, rotten sinner in need of salvation, and only the church can bring you that salvation, then you must do what they say, when they say, how they say, or face a life in what they have created and called a place called hell, a place of eternal damnation. Yeshua said that you're not filled with original sin, but you've got the spark of divinity within. The spark of divinity within. And if you go back on jeffreydarty.com, Unindoctrinate Daily, scroll down just a little ways, you'll see two proofs that when life begins, there is a spark, a literal spark that is apparent. And folks, that is the spark of divinity. We have it from the words of Yeshua. We've got it from the words of many great teachers. And we have it proven scientific fact as well now. You are not born with original sin, but you have the spark of divinity within. How great is that? So religion has been lying to you. Judaism tells you that lie. Christianity tells you that lie. Islam tells you that lie. And folks, I'm here tonight to tell you, Judaism, Christianity, Islam, they're all run by the same dude. Yahweh, the Lord, Allah, they're all the same guy. He's running the same show three times. And if you look at the Quran, if you look at the Bible, if you look at the Old Testament, which makes up the scriptures, of course, of the Jewish religion, it's the same people. It's the same players, of course, with the notable exception of plastic Jesus being notably absent within the Jewish scriptures. But yet the concept of the Messiah being very, very clear there as we roll through 11:11, but the church has been designed the reality of your spark of divinity hidden from you and keep you convinced that you've got original sin. Think about it. Paul said that you're born into sin, shapen in iniquity. Paul said that unless you confess with your mouth, believe with your heart, in his God, you can't be saved. Yeshua said, you don't need to be saved because you've got the spark of divinity within. Now, that doesn't mean that you don't need to live right. It doesn't mean that you don't need to develop it. It's a spark. It's supposed to be a flame. You want to take it from a spark to a flame. But we've been lied to. We have been cheated. And we have been defeated for many years from religion. Now, what do politicians do? What does politics do? What is the American political system set up to do? Well, it's pretty simple. Religion keeps you under control so they can get you coming to them to give them the money they say that they need and the money they want, to give them the devotion to the clergy class, to give them your obedience, and to give them your service. Why? Because if you don't, you can't get salvation that only they can give. So what does the political system do? Well, the political system, very simply, says that we need to keep you down. We need to keep you under control because we need you to continue to give money in the form of taxation. We need you to continue to give money in the form of working a job you hate for a wildly disproportionate portion of the proceeds, a very, very tiny portion of the proceeds, and they want you to continue to obey their laws. They want you to continue to be under their thumb. It's the very same mindset. It's the very same mentality that we see from religion right over in politics, and that's not hard to understand why. If you go back to the beginning of our Western civilization, politics and religion, pardon me, were one. Politics and religion were coming from the very same place, from the very same head of state. For 500-600 years, the Pope and the Emperor really were co-regents of the Roman Empire. And if you look at it today, I remember I was on Coast to Coast, first or second time, and George Norrie asked me, he said, Jeffrey, it must have been the first time, because we must have been discussing Apostle Paul Antichrist, and he asked me, Jeffrey, why do you think Rome fell? And I was about to give him the normal answer about overextended supply lines. I was about to give him the normal answer of overreach, imperial overreach. I was about to give him the answer of too much taxation on the people. But then another thought flashed into my mind. And we get back from break. I'll talk about that thought as we continue to look at the two heads of the dragon tonight on the Christian Whistleblower Show. Well, hi, folks. This is Jeffrey Daugherty. And I just tonight wanted to let you know about some of our greatest books. Of course, we talked about Apostle Paul Antichrist, which was the first book that we wrote. We've talked about Final Message of the Last Apostle. Let me just give you a quick preview of my latest book, which is entitled Confessions of an Exorcist. And it was recently featured on Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie. Confessions of an Exorcist is over 30 years of stories, over 30 years of mistakes, over 30 years of lessons learned in dealing with all facets of the paranormal, and of course, dealing with exorcism. We talk about Nazi ghosts, in Hitler's old hotel in Germany. We talk about a possessed C-130 Air Force aircraft. We talk about strange abductions in the old Soviet Union. We talk about demons going to church. We talk about shadow men. And then I think the important, most important part of the book is we begin to look at and ask new questions and get new revelations from both the scriptures and from science, like from men like Sir Isaac Newton, about the very nature of demons and evil and the very nature and practice of what we call exorcism. I think you'll be inspired. I think you'll be encouraged. I think you will learn not to make some of the same mistakes I've made over 30 years. And I think Confessions of an Exorcist will help you understand the nature of what we call evil. And above all else, this book will leave you excited. This book will leave you encouraged. And this book will leave you equipped. And you will no longer have to fear things that go bump in the night, but you will be able to move forward with confidence and expectation. Confessions of an Exorcist by yours truly, Jeffrey Daugherty, available at jeffreydaugherty.com, and like the other books, also available in a ebook format. So cost should never prevent you from getting a hold of any of these great books. Take the next step. Get all the research, get all the proof data in these books by yours truly, Jeffrey Daugherty.
And now, the Christian whistleblower, Jeffrey Daugherty.
All right, we're back now for our final segment on this first show, our return back to Blog Talk Radio. Now, I know that things probably haven't been as smooth and perfect as we hope they would be. I hope that you will give me some leeway as we get things back together. I do have the phone lines open. If you do have a question, I can see your numbers pop up as you call. I see many numbers there. If you do have a question, put down the last four digits of your phone number so I'll know which one is you, and I will go to you and answer your question. But as we roll on and as we realize and as we understand that the church is designed to keep us under control so we will continue to give them our money, continue to give them our devotion, and continue to give them our time. And when you look at the political structure, it's very much the same way. They want to keep us doing what? They want to keep us paying our taxes. They want to keep us working our jobs. They want to keep us trolling along in our society. And why? Are we not feeding a class just like we are within religion? In religion, you have the clergy class. What do? They just take care of the things of the clergy. And you pay them money, and you give them your devotion, and they really don't do anything except cash checks and give a talk once a week. Think about your politicians. What do? Most of these people that are in office today have never held a real job in their life. I mean, just look at the people that are running for president right now in the United States. Hillary Clinton has always been in the political sector. She's never worked a real job. She's never met a payroll. She's never, ever had a real non-governmental job in her life. All of her life, her adult life, Hillary Clinton has been living off a salary provided by who? That would be you. That would be me. Hillary Clinton has received her protection. Hillary Clinton has received her housing. Hillary Clinton has received her food. Hillary Clinton has received her salary. From who? From you and from me. Bernie Sanders, He's been in Congress and the Senate since Christ was a corporal. Bernie Sanders never met a payroll, never had a job. He is a professional politician just like Hillary Clinton is. There's no doubt about it. Over on the Republican side, you got Ted Cruz. Well, how about Ted Cruz? Same exact thing. Now he's now drinking from the, he's now slopping from the federal trough, but he's always been involved in government in the state of Texas. He's been paid by the people of Texas, supported by the people of Texas. He again never met a payroll. He again never had a real job. So there's three out of the four people running for president that have never had a real job. And year after year after year, that is usually the case. Who's feeding those people? Who's supporting those people? We are. Who's feeding and supporting the priests, the preachers, the imams? We are. It's the very same thing. Now, these people parade around, these politicians with Secret Service. They have retirement plans, lucrative retirement plans. Who pays for that? We do. Just like we pay for the priests, just like we pay for the preachers, we pay for the politicians. And Yeshua never meant for it to be that way on the religious side. He never meant for preachers to be lording it over. He never meant for preachers to be raking it in. Guess who started and guess who pioneered and defended the practice of preachers? I'll wait. It was the Apostle Paul, a laborer's worthy of his hire. You should give me money. Paul started it, and Joel's just continuing it. Joel and all the rest of them, Joel and Francis, the Pope, they're continuing what Paul started. Pay me money. And Hillary and Bernie and Ted, they're all continuing it on the political side. Now, of course, some of you are saying, well, what about Donald Trump? Well, what about Donald Trump? That's very interesting. Donald Trump has never been a politician. He's always had a job. He's always made a payroll. He's built a great company. But I got to tell you something, folks. If you think that Donald Trump is running for president just because he wants to give back, just because he wants to make America great, just because he's a great guy, if you think that's why Donald Trump is running for president, you are incredibly naive. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you one thing. Donald Trump is running for president because he thinks it's the best thing for Donald Trump. Donald Trump wants to make America great again because America has to be great to be able to afford to golf at the luxury clubs that he owns. America has to be great to be able to buy the luxury real estate that he builds and constructs. America has to be great before Americans are able to spend the money at his luxury hotels, buy his clothing, shop in his pro shops, play at his golf courses. Donald Trump may very well want to make America great again. I think he does. Donald Trump may very well want to help the American economy get strong again. I believe he does. Donald Trump does want to keep companies in America. He does want to get jobs back in America. He wants to make America great again. He wants to help the people get great again, but he wants to do it, folks, to help and solidify his own business interests. Now, I'm not saying that's wrong, but I'm saying that if you look at Donald Trump as somebody that's riding in on a white horse that's going to save you and make everything better, you got to wake up, my friend. Hillary Clinton's not going to save you. Bernie Sanders is not going to save you. Ted Cruz is not going to save you. And Donald Trump is not going to save you. Donald Trump may create a world where you can work your own way to a better life. The other three just want to take your money and live off your fat so that they don't have to do anything like work for themselves and just live off of you in retirement. At least Trump is trying to get something done right that is going to benefit us, and he's not slopping from the trough that we fill. So I'm not sure about Donald Trump. I'm not sure about his motivations. I'm not sure if he's real, what he says. If he is, wow, it's a possibility of bringing America back to what we have wanted it to be. It's a possibility of helping our economy. But the one thing you have to realize, folks, even if Donald Trump gets elected, he can't save you. He won't save you. Only you can save you. And you have to get yourself out of that mindset that somebody's coming back to save you. Donald Trump's not going to save you. Hillary's not going to save you. And I've got to tell you, folks, Plastic Jesus isn't coming back to save you either. Nobody's coming back to save you. Your ship is not coming in. You have to swim out and meet it. Yeshua said, look, they came to him. The Pharisees, and it was probably Paul, came to him and said, hey, look, I want you to tell us what the signs are going to be for the great second coming event at the end of the age. And Yeshua said, man, you have totally blown it. There's not going to be any signs because the kingdom's already in your heart. Yeshua said, don't look for signs. And in fact, he said, it's a wicked and an adulterous generation that seeks after a sign. So which one are you, wicked or adulterous? It's up to you. You don't have to be either one. You can be enlightened. Well, I'm Jeffrey Daugherty, the Christian Whistleblower. That's our first show. We will be back on Wednesday night for another edition of the Christian Whistleblower. And we'll start next week, most likely, with Create Yourself. So until Wednesday night, same bad time, same bad channel. I'm Jeffrey Daugherty, the Christian Whistleblower, encouraging you to unindoctrinate yourself.
Stay connected to the Christian Whistleblower at www.christianwhistleblower.com. Follow Jeffrey Daugherty on Twitter at Unindoctrinate. On Facebook, Jeffrey Daugherty and Jeffrey Daugherty Show. Visit christianwhistleblower.com today. Learn to unindoctrinate yourself, create yourself, and live the life you'll love. We hope you've enjoyed this visit. Join us again next time here on your Mutual Broadcast Station.